Welcome to the next episode of the Social Media Success Series. Today I'm joined by the amazing Rachel Spencer, who is an expert, you know, business coach and publicity help for social media and pet businesses. So I've got some amazing stuff that me and Rachel have spoken about just previous to recording this. So I'm just going to let Rachel introduce herself because she'll do a much better job than I will. So the floor's open, Rachel. Let's hear all about you.
Hiya, Charlotte. Thanks so much for inviting me and for such a lovely warm welcome. It's brilliant to be here. So I'm Rachel and I help pet businesses when it comes to raising their profiles and getting more eyes on the brilliant work that they do. So I help them with press coverage. And I actually started out, I've been a journalist for many years, but I started, the reason I ended up working with people in the pet industry was I started a pet blog going back in 2017 now. And I wanted it to be a platform for me to, it was more of, it was a passion project really. But when people approached me to be on the blog, they found and found out I was a journalist, they asked about getting press coverage and the press coverage side kind of happened by accident. I actually started out using the blog to have my own platform and also to learn about social media myself. And I did everything the wrong way around, but this is where I am. And I'm now here today talking to you on your social media podcast. So it's all worked out in the end. And yeah, and that's how it kind of worked for me, really. A very quick shorthand version.
Oh, that's amazing. That's brilliant. So touching on social media then, and you being a journalist and everything like that, I often get questions about social media platforms and sort of what ones work for different people. So for you, with your blog and everything you do now, what sort of platforms do you use that you find most useful?
Okay, so I am a little bit of an old lady in that I love Facebook. That's my main platform, Facebook group. I built a Facebook group, which again all happened by accident. I built it when I started working with pet businesses around publicity, and that is my main, that's my main thing, I think, for social media. So it's a publicity for pet businesses community, and it's a support group for pet businesses who want to feel more confident really talking about what they do. So I like Facebook. I like Instagram, but I get, oh my gosh, like, I'm sure you've heard this. If you had a pound for every person you've heard this from, you'd be a rich lady, wouldn't you? But with Instagram, it's like, I love it in the sense that I love what it's all about, but I get blooming stressed out with all the things that we have to do. I'm quite self-conscious. I have a podcast like yourself, love audio, but video, usually because I've got grey roots and I haven't got any makeup on, or I've just come back from a run, I look a mess. So I don't do loads of video. I'm trying to get better at it, and I'm trying to batch and do other things, but I do love Instagram. I love what it's all about. I like LinkedIn, really like LinkedIn actually, and I have had some good opportunities from there. And then the other one, the least favorite platform I find for most pet businesses, is Twitter. Now Twitter is where I first started out when I had the blog. It was before Instagram was quite as big as it is today, and the pet business community was really big on Twitter. And when I started my pet blog, the Paw Post, I've met a lot of pet businesses, other pet businesses, and they really supported me, and I'm still really good friends with them to this day. People like Dotty Four Paws, the Cozy Canine Company, Alison from House of Henry, who I know you know really well. They were my original social media friends, and we're still really good mates today. So, and also I was really familiar with Twitter because it was a platform I used as a journalist when I needed to find case studies and stories. So I've picked four there. That's quite a lot, isn't it? But Facebook's my favourite.
Yeah, well, that totally leads on to my next question. And it's, which platform do you find sort of most useful for your business? And given the fact you have that amazing group going, am I right in assuming that would be Facebook?
Yeah, I would say Facebook, definitely. Yeah. And I think with social media, I think it's about finding a place where you feel most comfortable as well, isn't it? And my Facebook group is where I'm most comfortable, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really important. I think some people or some businesses tend to jump to every platform just so they can say, I'm on this. But yeah, will it really help their business? And for you, having that comfort of the Facebook group, like, how many members have you got in there now?
I've got just over 2,000.
Amazing. And, you know, they're your audience, and you found a place that worked for you and works for them, which is fantastic. So if we take it back to the beginning of your social media journey, how did you feel like starting that? Was it, I can't wait to do this? Was it, I really don't want to do this, but I know I have to? How did you feel?
Okay, so my social media journey, obviously, you know, like everybody, I mean, I'm like 46. So I joined social media back in 2007, I think. when Facebook first came out, and I remember somebody saying, I was working mostly in newspapers then, I think Prince Harry was on Facebook back then. Like, this is what Facebook was like at the beginning. And I remember one of my journalist friends saying, oh my God, there's this new thing, it's called Facebook, and Prince Harry's on there, and he tells people what he's doing, and you can get these amazing stories from it. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is just insane. So yeah, I started on Facebook like back in 2007, and then before then MySpace. You know, like I had to write about the Arctic Monkeys when they first came out, and they basically built themselves on MySpace. So I was, you know, been with social media right from the get-go because of my age. But yeah, going back to how I felt about social media, I was on there as, you know, me, personal profile. But I then, as a journalist, I'd go on Twitter to try and find case studies and people to interview. And then when I started thinking more of building a business rather than purely journalism, I then had to go on social media as a business owner, and I was terrified, and I was useless at promoting myself, absolutely useless for the first, I'd say, 5 years probably. I was just scared. I thought other journalists would think, oh my gosh, what's Rachel going on about, how she can work with small businesses, and who does she think she is to say she can help people write press releases, and how can she claim to be an expert and all of this stuff? And found it really hard and really daunting. And I talk about this a lot now because I still feel it a little bit now, but I just don't care as much. And when I first started kind of talking about going on social media and talking as a business and saying I could help people, I did find it terrifying. But I feel like now when I'm encouraging other people to take that brave step and not be scared, I have got to have my big girl pants on like 99.9% of the time and be walking the walk. So I did feel scared, and I still do feel scared. And there are some times when I have to, when I'm putting a post out, like at the moment, as we're talking in end of September 2022, I've got a course that I'm promoting and starting like in a few days. So I'm having to like just buckle up and keep telling people about it. And every time you do it, you feel like, oh, keep talking about this and really hard and people must hate me and I'm the most annoying person on the internet and all that. But you've just got to keep going because someone out there will need the thing that you've got to offer. And yeah, and if you don't tell them about it, then they might go to the, you know, you, I know you've got a lot of dog trainers in your community. Like my example is, if you're a force-free dog trainer and you're not telling people that you're there and you can help them, what if they go to the dog trainer down the road who's going to put a prong collar or a shock collar on their dog? You know, what's the alternative if people can't find you? Who, if you're not visible, who misses out? And that can really make a difference. And it, I find when it does sink in, it really helps shift people's mindset and stop them thinking, oh my God, I can't do this, and help them think, no, actually, people need to see me.
Absolutely.
And that's what I did myself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people I speak to when I do like the coaching course and things like that, the main thing is they come out and they say about social media and how they don't want to be on their own social media, or they don't want to talk about themselves, or, you know, and I, like I say to them, you can post as many ads as you want, but it will never have the same effect as people getting to know you and your personality and you know, how you train or how you groom or anything like that. It's really important to have your own sort of story there as well, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, definitely, yeah. And again, we do sometimes hold back with our personal stories, I think, and being, you know, telling people actually, you know, what makes you do what you do. But I feel like when you do share them, it's really, really makes a difference. And you're right, saying, you know, you can have a groom for £30, or, you know, we've got this lovely bandana. That's, you know, you have got to put those posts out there. I get it. But talking about, you know, if you're a groomer, if you talk about the transformation with a client that was very anxious when they came for grooming and now feels more confident, or, you know, if you've got a product that really makes a difference, or even if you've got a product, like I've got one client called Kim, and she makes bandanas, and she will often say to me, oh, but I'm not really, you know, making a difference, and I'm not doing this, and, you know, it's not like I'm transforming lives like a dog trainer. But the thing is, she's like bringing joy with those products, and she's got like these massive super fans who've got her products in every range. And there's like one of her clients, she's from Scotland, she even had like Kim make some I think it was lead bandana and collar out of her own family Scottish tweed.
Oh, wow.
That's a great story, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's just because it's just showing her going above and beyond for her clients. So
yeah,
I totally agree.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we'll take it back to your client group on Facebook. What was the reason you really set this up? And, you know, what do you use it for now?
Okay, so I set the group up because I wrote a book called Publicity Tips for Pet Businesses back in 2018. And as part of the book, I thought, and I literally wrote it in a month and put it on Amazon. So it's really not very good. But I just wanted, when people were asking me about how to get publicity, I thought, if I write a book, I can send them to that, because I was having lots of email conversations. So I thought, I'll put it on the book. And what I thought I would do at the end of the book and at the beginning is to say, if you've got any questions or you'd like to chat or there's anything you want to run by me, come and find me on Facebook. I've created this Facebook group for the people who read the book. And, you know, it's a space where we can continue, and I can support you. So that's how it started. And then it kind of grew. It just kind of grew organically, really, because I was doing more, putting myself out there, being scared, but doing it anyway. And then it kind of grew. I started doing like challenges and workshops and that kind of thing. And eventually it evolved into courses and memberships and coaching and stuff. And then the kind of activity that goes on in there is the focus is around publicity. Initially, I thought that was just press coverage. Well, that's how I saw it. But now, you know, we cover content marketing, social media and all that kind of thing. And it's also a bit of a supportive space for people to ask questions on all kinds of things, really. It's mostly publicity related, but people ask about all kinds of different things around pricing and all kinds of things, really. And if I don't have the answer, I'll always signpost them to people who do. And then the other thing, as you all know from running a community, is if people are asking about a theme or a topic and you don't have the answer, you can go and find an expert to go and interview on your podcast.
Exactly.
So that's how it works, really. And it's a really good community. It's all about kind of celebrating like what we do. We have lots of posts around like wins and you know, accountability and sharing people's successes. Every Friday I have a sharing thread where people can share, you know, if they've got a reel that did really well, or they've been on the radio, or they've you know, been on a podcast or whatever. It's a chance to kind of show off and show off, because we need to show off, don't we?
Definitely.
So that's what it's all about.
Amazing. So in regards to publicity then, I know you've got some really helpful tips for people listening. So what would you sort of give as some really top tips for people who are wanting to get more publicity with their pet business?
Okay, so I know your area is social media, so I want to give you like social media specific tips.
Okay.
So people are already on social media, these are a few little things they can do while they're already there, and go get themselves, or go and see what opportunities are out there. So the first thing is, the first tip I've got for anyone listening who's thinking getting press coverage or being on the radio is not something, you know, it's only for the big companies or the TV dog trainers or people with loads of budgets and PR companies. First thing I want to say is that isn't true. Journalists want to hear from people like you, people who've got compelling, heartwarming, educational, inspiring stories. And, you know, we love our animals. Like, you know, wherever you're listening, wherever you are in the world, journalists love hearing stories about animals. So that's the first thing. So don't feel like this is out of your reach and that people won't be interested in you, because they will.
Yeah.
So that's my first soapbox. So thinking about social media for getting press coverage, there's a few ways you can do it. So I'm going to go do Facebook first. So on Facebook, there's a few Facebook groups that are really good. And I'll send you the links to them after we've finished talking. So if you want to have them in your show notes or wherever, then you can do. But there's a really good group called Lightbulb, and it's called Lightbulb Entrepreneur Press and Entrepreneur Hangout. And it's basically where journalists and business owners hang out. The journalists will talk about what stories they're working on, and business owners can say, I can help with that. So they might be doing a Christmas product roundup and asking for people for suggestions, and people can make suggestions. Or they might be writing about you know, how to make Christmas stress-free for you and your dog, and they might be looking for a dog trainer to be their expert. So that's a really good group to go and have a look at. You do have to pay, I think it's about $5.99 a month to be in it. But if you are thinking, I really want to get some press coverage, I don't want to hire a PR company, I want to kind of just focus on this for a little bit, then go and pay $5.99 and have a try of it, see how you get on. There's another really good group called Feature Me. That's free, and that's run by two ladies who are freelance journalists who write a lot for the nationals here in the UK. And again, similar to Lightbulb, it's journalists asking for help and people to talk about different experiences. And people can go in there and say, you know, I've just had this, you know, this has just happened to me, or I've, you know, I've just, you know, ran 33 marathons in a month to raise money for a charity or whatever, and journalists can pick up on their stories. So they're both really good groups. The other thing I would say is, if you want to get press coverage, go and follow your local newspaper or magazine Facebook pages, because they often put really good stuff on there and say, we're looking to speak to people about the budget and how it's going to impact on them. You can put your hand up and say, yeah, I can help you with that. Get some great coverage.
Yeah.
Good way to connect with journalists as well. Some of the local papers have Facebook groups too, so go and join them if you're looking at focusing on your press. Another really good one is go and follow like the magazines that you read as well. So it might be Cosmo, it might be Dogs Today. Like Beverly Cuddy, who's the editor at Dogs Today, she's prolific on Facebook, and she's always in the magazine every month. They have debates and all kinds of different things, and often she'll source the quotes for the debate from Facebook. So you can, you can get, you know, get an insight into what they're interested in as well. So that's a really good one on Facebook. Twitter, the least favourite platform, but I generally find, if you go on Twitter, and I've got a full podcast on this actually, so I can send it to you afterwards, but I've got a full podcast on how to use Twitter to get press coverage. But basically on Twitter, there is a thing called journo request, and it's a hashtag. When journalists are looking to interview people, they use the hashtag, or they're looking for products for roundups or all kinds of different things, experts talk about topic, they use the journo request hashtag, and you can go and search on there and find things that are going to be suitable for you. It's a real gold mine of opportunity. Yeah. And then the final social media platform to consider, you will sometimes find stuff on Instagram, but few and far between. What I would say, if there's a journalist that you're interested in, just, you know, you can go and follow them on Instagram, but I wouldn't be direct messaging them or anything like that, because it's a little bit personal. So, you know, it's a good way to kind of see what somebody writes about and maybe start to build a relationship by liking and commenting on what they write on Instagram, but I wouldn't direct message or anything like that. Yeah. Maybe go via the website and build a relationship on there. But the final platform is LinkedIn. LinkedIn can be really good for thought leadership and really, really kind of standing out as an expert. The other thing I've found from my clients with LinkedIn is it can lead to partnerships. So like I've got a dog trainer who works for a big dog food brand that kind of came about through LinkedIn. Another lady I was working with, she was a pet taxi company, and she's worked on quite a few different projects that have come via LinkedIn. And you can get sales from LinkedIn as well. Like people on LinkedIn have got pets, and you know, I've got a pet photographer client, and I know she does really well from LinkedIn. And journalists will sometimes be on there. There are a few that use LinkedIn as they do Twitter and other platforms to go and find people to talk to. So there's a lot of opportunity on social media if you want to get press coverage, and you can get direct access to the journalists as well, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. And that there's loads of things there, you know, that maybe the dog trainer down the road wouldn't even think that sort of applies to me, where you're on about, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn and stuff like that. And I think those platforms do get forgotten. And, you know, as you've said, Facebook and Instagram definitely take the lead, in my opinion, when it comes to pet businesses. And that's where I seem to find the majority of my clients struggle. Some of them are probably even looking in the wrong places because they haven't even thought about looking for clients, like you've said, on the LinkedIn, on Twitter, or even finding that sort of press coverage in those places as well. It could be that they're consistently trying to write letters in or phone call or anything like that into the, you know, news companies, but it could genuinely be they're missing the opportunities there on LinkedIn and Twitter that are waiting for them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, definitely. That's the thing. It's like a bit of a secret thing, really. Although it's not really a secret because it is on social media, but it is a bit like, you know, there's an easy way for you to do this. You don't have to hire a PR company. I'm not anti-PR, I'm not at all. But you don't have to spend, like, I've spoke to people over the years, they've spent tens of thousands of pounds on a PR company when they've just started out. And I don't feel that a startup, you know, you should try, you'll be the same with social media. I always feel that people should try to master something themselves first and then hand it over when they're ready, but have that understanding of social media, or in my case, press coverage. Because then you know that you're getting value from the people who you're bringing in. But yeah, absolutely. Go and please, if you are a pet business and you want to get press coverage, do take a little bit of time and go and work on it yourself. It's not something that you have to do for 3 hours a day or anything. Just, you know, a lot of my clients just spend an hour a month or an hour a week on it, and they get really, really good results.
Exactly. And you're 100% right. I think when people sort of hire in social media managers or that sort of thing, or PR companies, without actually understanding A, what the platform does or what they're asking people to do, and B, not really getting used to the feels of that platform or what they're asking a PR company to do, can create massive issues further down the line, because you're left a little bit in the dark. They've gone steaming ahead and they can go, yes, this is amazing, but is it actually amazing? Or do you just not know what's going on?
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? And you also, if you're doing it yourself, you're controlling the message. So like before, I worked with pet businesses, I used to I'd go to networking meetings. I used to live in Manchester and I used to go to networking meetings there and work with people locally. And I remember doing some press releases for one company. It was like an engineering firm, and they said, oh, we're doing it this way. We wanted you to do our press releases for us, because we've seen other people use PR companies, but they, you know, what goes out there is not what they want to go out there. And often when you're paying a lot of money to somebody, they just, you know, and they're under pressure to land coverage, it can sometimes not be really what you want. Whereas if you're in control, then, you know, you are thinking, okay, well, I want to get some press coverage around Christmas safety tips for, you know, you and your new puppy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just work through the process and go and get that.
Yeah, brilliant. That's great. So if we just take it back to now a little bit more social media focus, and let's just talk about, I know your posts are really good. So the posts you put out there are amazing. So when it comes to like designing your posts, what sort of platforms do you use or websites do you use to get those done?
Oh, well, thank you for saying my posts are amazing, because I'm always like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm very good at social media. Okay, so I do have a bit of help. I have Alison from House of Henry. She helps me with everything from a podcast, and sometimes she'll help me with, basically, if you look at my posts and they look like they've been put together professionally, Alison's done them. And then you'll be able to see the ones that I've done. I do use Canva, and I think Canva's amazing. I love it. Like, it's brilliant. What I do is I try and plan ahead, and I get Alison to do my professional ones and the stuff from a podcast and my blog, and then I use Canva for things in between. So, for example, yesterday I was thinking about a social media post about 6 ways to say that you're awesome without saying I'm awesome. So yeah. I know I'll go and do that as a carousel on Canva, or I might do it as a reel or something. So I'll do all of that myself. And I think Canva's amazing, isn't it? Like, there's so many templates in there. And like, every time you search for a template, and you've like, I'll go in there sometimes and I'll be like, I looked for a 3 tips template last week and there wasn't all of these. Like, they just have more and more and more, isn't there? Yeah. So I love Canva. Don't tell Alison I said that. No, I'm joking. Canva is brilliant. So yeah, that's my main thing. Apart from Alison's help, I do all of my social media myself. And then with Canva, like, I've imported my fonts and my colour scheme and that kind of thing. And I know, like, people like yourself do power hours and that kind of thing, where you can just get a bit of help with Canva. And I think sometimes, I know when I first started doing it, I had a power hour with another lady and she showed me what to do. And I think, actually, spending some time with someone who knows the ins and outs of Canva is a very good investment, because you'll be faffing around on there and, you know, actually, you know, spending some time with somebody who can show you actually how it works is a really good, really good way to just make things look a little bit more like you want them to look. But it's an incredible tool. So I use Canva. I don't schedule very much. If I do, I usually just do it inside of Facebook. I do use Buffer sometimes if I'm really good and planning ahead, or if there's something like an awareness day and I know that I want to have quite a few things going out. I know Buffer's quite old now, isn't it? But it's just something that I can use easily. So yeah, that's what I use.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So touching on Canva, this month in the Pet Business Owner Community, I've done a masterclass on Canva, which is free for anybody to look at. And yeah, the the things Canva can do, and the more and more they update it to do all these brilliant things, it's just phenomenal. And what you said about your brand kit as well, you don't have to be a graphic designer really to do your posts in between now, because Canva's got it all there for you.
Totally. So brilliant, honestly. And the pictures and the images and stuff that you get in there, like, they're great, aren't they?
Yeah. They are fantastic. It is such a good tool. So in regards to then, we'll talk a little bit about Instagram, because Instagram's my favorite platform. I love Instagram. I think it's such a good place to connect with other businesses and clients too. Obviously dependent on your business, but that's where I found the majority of mine. You've got quite a big following on Instagram. So how did you even get to that point? Was it people more following you? Was it you actively sort of engaging with your audience? Or was it just a case of everybody loves what I do, this is how I found most of my followers?
I think it's just because I've been on there, honestly. I think it's just like I've been on there for a while. Like when I first started on Instagram, probably back in about 2016, I did all kinds of different things, really. I've done a few courses. I have done a few Instagram courses. Did one with Janet Murray, one with Helen Perry. Did the Sarah Tasker one like years and years ago, to try and get my head around it. But I think a lot of the time people have found me on Instagram because they're in my Facebook group, so they've found me from other ways. And sometimes if people find your podcast, people go and find you on whatever platform works for them. So I feel like a blog or a podcast or a regular video is a really good way to bring you followers, because if people like you, they'll go and find you on the platform where they hang out.
Yeah.
I have been a bit rubbish with stories recently, but I do try and use stories when I can to find out like what people want to do. I know that I need to do more things like Instagram Live, and I am going to do one today. I've done lives with other people. When Reels first started, probably getting on for 2 years ago now, isn't it?
Just about,
I did some Reels. I do try to do Reels. I know I should do more, but I think Reels have probably been good for growth. And then the other thing I do basically is with Instagram is just try to be a helpful person. I know I'm going against like the advice and all that kind of thing, but I feel like we can get so hung up with thinking Instagram wants us to do this and I don't like video and blah blah blah. And actually the way I've looked at it is if someone finds me on Instagram, I just want them to find me and think, this person's can help me. This is the kind of thing that I want help with. They seem like a decent person. They seem all right. They seem to be providing decent content and know what they're talking about. And they're, you know, friendly, or you know what I mean? You just want to make a good impression. And you know, obviously, if you go on my Instagram, you'll see my dog, and I'll share things from my holidays. And I go, like the other day, I shared some stories from a restaurant opening that I was at. And I don't stick to the rule book. I do try and keep my content useful, but I will post if I'm on holiday or, you know, I'm on the beach with my dog, and mix things up a bit so you get a bit of a feel of who I am and what I'm all about. But I feel like sometimes we can get so hung up with thinking I need to do what Instagram wants me to do, that it takes the joy out of it. And actually, I just think turning up and doing what feels right for you, whether that's Reels, brilliant. If you want to dance, amazing. If you want to just write posts and share beautiful photos, that's amazing too. And I think just do what feels right for you. So yeah, I can't give you any like growth strategy or anything like that, because I've just done what feels right for me, but it seems to have worked.
So. And I'm so glad you said that, because one of my biggest sort of bugbears I find is people on Instagram especially who sort of ram the thought that you always need to do Reels. The only way forward is Reels. You can't do anything other than Reels. And yeah, I do post about how important Reels are, but I also post about how important things other than Reels are, you know? So I think whatever feels natural, exactly like you said to you, is worth doing. And I post a lot of photos when I'm away. I post a lot of photos of my dogs, and I think for me, a lot of my clients come to me because they like me rather than there are other social media managers, but it's because they've got that connection with me from Instagram. They like what I do. And that's how you sort of find your sort of tribe on those platforms.
Yeah, totally. And I think this summer has been really, it's been a funny old summer, hasn't it, for Instagram. And people have, you know, I understand why people are upset and frustrated, because it feels like the rug's been pulled from under you a little bit. But at the same time, these platforms are free. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was basically thinking, like, if we're looking at Instagram, and we're thinking, okay, this is a platform where I advertise my business and where I've built a community and all these people have found out about me and it's led to sales and all those things, we need to kind of look at it a bit like Instagram is a bit like our boss, isn't it? And if our boss said to us, right, you know, Rachel, you've got to do more videos, or you're right, Charlotte, I don't want you to be posting pictures, I want you to be creating carousels or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like we have to do what it wants us to do.
Yeah.
And yes, we can rebel to an extent, or we might only do a few reels, or we might find a way to make that work. But like, I've seen a lot of frustration, a lot of upset around Instagram, but Instagram calls the shots, doesn't it? And this is where we're at. And yes, you can throw the rule book out the window. I feel like you don't have to follow the rules, but you also, like, when that platform's been created and it's free and it brings you all these things, you have to kind of play the game, really, don't you? So
exactly, and you're 100% right. And I think with Instagram, Facebook, all of them, they're rented spaces, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you don't own that space, so it's really important you remember that yes, you have to play by the rules, and that also the information you're collecting is also kept somewhere else, so like newsletters, you know, your CRM systems and stuff like that, because one day Instagram could go, well, we're not allowing, I know they probably wouldn't, dog trainers on the platform, and every single dog trainer would then have to find some other way of promoting their business. Yeah.
Oh, totally. So I'm all about we've both got podcasts, haven't we? So my priority is podcast, email, newsletter, Facebook group. And all my platforms, I try to bring them, you know, I share my podcast and I regularly share my signups and my newsletter. Because, yeah, we're on, as you say, borrowed land, and it can be whipped away. You know, like, I know of people who've had Etsy shops shut down, Facebook pages shut down, Facebook hacks, all kinds of hideous things happen. And we've got to get people onto a platform where we're in more control, I feel.
Exactly. And not to scare anybody off the social media platforms, because they are great places to find, you know, clients and other businesses to connect with. But it is really important, like we've both said, that you also have some sort of backup system, that if one day they all were deleted, or, you know, they all decided you are not allowed to promote X, Y, and Z on them, you have another way of engaging with your audience. Like you said, with the podcast, with my platform that I host outside of the social media platforms, it is important to have those things in place, isn't it, just in case it was to happen.
Yeah, and you don't want to scare people. I'm with you, but yeah, we just have to protect ourselves. And
yeah,
and also, you know, you'll be the same when you're launching something or you've got a new product out. I know if I send an email out that everyone who's on that list will be delivered, whether they'll open it, I don't know, but I know it'll be delivered. Whereas if we're on social media, you know, we don't have the same, we can't have that certainty, really, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not knocking social media. I think it's amazing. Like, you know, when I first started out, I don't want to sound like someone's nan, but you know what I mean? When I started out, if you wanted someone to know about your business, you had to take an advert out in your local paper or get press coverage. Whereas now, you know, we've got the internet and all these brilliant ways to put your personality out there, show what you do, show the behind the scenes, your brilliant products, your gorgeous, you know, creations, your brilliant service, your transformations. It's amazing. I think we're in a really good, we're very lucky as business owners to have all of that.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for all your social media help. Just before we sort of finish, Rachel, I just want you to sort of let people know how they can get involved with you. If they want to start doing like courses and things with you, how are they best to find you and what have you got coming up?
Okay, so we're recording this in September, aren't we? So best place to find me is come and find my free Facebook group. It's a Publicity for Pet Businesses community, really easy to find. I am on all social platforms at Rachel Spencer UK. So come and find me on whatever platform you like. I've also got a newsletter, and you can sign up on my website, which is publicityforpetbusinesses.co.uk. And do go and check out my podcast as well. It's on all of your podcast apps, and it's called the Publicity for Pet Businesses podcast. As far as what I've got coming up, I've got a course which is starting early September. I do one-to-ones with people, so I have consultancy calls, which are always happening. I'm making a few changes between now and the end of between now and the beginning of 2023. But the main offers that I have at the moment would be one-to-one. I also have a get your pet business in the press, like VIP day offer that I do, where you can learn everything you need to know in one day. So if any of those appeal, let me know. But do just come and find me on social media, and if you are listening and you're thinking, oh, I quite like some press coverage, but I'm not sure how to go about it, I've got loads of resources to get you started as well. So just come and say hi, it'd be great to hear from you.
Yeah, awesome. And I'm sure in the future, me and you can do a lot more for the pet business owner community, where we can, you know, do masterclasses and things. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Rachel will be hanging out a lot around there as well. So yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Rachel.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.